Here's the uncomfortable truth. Parents love their children desperately, yet parenting itself often makes them miserable. Studies consistently show that parents report lower happiness levels than their childless peers. They argue more with their partners, sleep less, and experience more anxiety. Yet when asked about life's greatest sources of meaning and joy, 85% point to their children without hesitation. This contradiction sits at the heart of modern parenthood. We've created a system where raising children has become more emotionally demanding than ever before, even as children have become economically worthless but emotionally priceless. We're the first generation to parent without clear scripts, preparing children for futures we can't imagine while juggling impossible expectations about work, marriage, and self-fulfillment. The result? A parenting experience that feels simultaneously essential and overwhelming, where love and exhaustion exist in constant tension. Early parenthood consistently ranks as the least happy period in most people's lives because children systematically dismantle hard-won autonomy. Consider Jessie, a Minneapolis mother who once taught in Germany, worked in London, became a flight attendant, and built an advertising career. Now she photographs families while managing 3 children under 6. One morning before 8 a.m., her baby woke early, her son wet the bed, and the baby projectile vomited at breakfast. She'd worked until 3 a.m. because nighttime offers her only uninterrupted hours. This loss hits particularly hard because educated women now average 30.3 years at first birth, after a decade of independence. During a parenting class, Jessie confessed to fantasizing about just keep driving during a rare solo errand, not because she doesn't love her children, but because relentless demands leave her craving fragments of her former life. The fundamental problem is neurological. Children possess lantern consciousness, naturally distractible, living entirely in the present. Adults have spotlight consciousness, focused and goal-oriented. Parents spend up to 24 times per hour trying to get young children to comply. Flow requires clear goals, rules, feedback, and control. Early parenting offers none of these. Our modern abundance of choices redefines liberty as freedom from obligation. Children represent the last binding obligation in a culture that asks for almost no other permanent commitments. Michelle Obama once quoted her husband's frustration, "You only think about yourself. I never thought I'd have to raise a family alone." Research confirms about 90% of couples experience declining marital satisfaction after their first child, with nearly one quarter reporting marital distress by 18 months. Fathers estimate doing 42% of childcare. The actual figure is 35%. UCLA research found fathers most frequently in a room by himself. For mothers, time fragments endlessly. 67% report multitasking most of the time, compared to 42% of fathers. What distinguishes involved fathers from struggling mothers is self-forgiveness. One father strategically protects personal space. If I have 2 hours, I get 10 minutes, regardless, to maintain my sanity level. Many mothers suffer from unentitlement, feeling guilty prioritizing themselves. This pioneering generation of involved fathers faces many hardships, but comparing themselves to unattainable ideals isn't one of them. At a Houston Cub Scout sign-up, parents immediately voice scheduling concerns. "My son has at least an hour of homework per night, plus piano and soccer." One father summarizes, "Like everyone here, we are seriously overscheduled." This phenomenon, children suddenly acquiring packed agendas as if they'd all suddenly acquired chiefs of staff, reflects what sociologist Annette Leroux identified as concerted cultivation. Middle-class parents scrutinize even minor decisions, like gymnastics programs, as if children's futures depend on them. This intensive approach is historically recent. Only after World War II did children become economically worthless but emotionally priceless. Modern parental anxiety reflects what anthropologist Margaret Mead identified. Unlike traditional societies where parents prepared children for established roles, American parents face preparing children for unknown futures. Without established folk ways to guide them, parents are vulnerable to every parenting trend. Women now spend half as much time on housework as in 1965, but more time with children than their mothers did. Fathers work longer hours than men without children, 47 versus 44 hours weekly. The cost is real. Family dinners have declined since the 1970s. Couple time dropped from 12.4 hours weekly in 1975 to just 9 by 2000, and community involvement has diminished. Adolescence transforms parenting from warm cuddles to managing practices, homework struggles, and midnight ride requests. At a Brooklyn gathering, six middle-class mothers share escalating concerns about their accomplished teenagers, from circumventing internet restrictions to hidden self-harm. Leading authority Lauren Steinberg observes a paradox. While adolescence doesn't seem difficult for kids, 40% of parents suffer mental health declines when their firstborn hits this stage. Unlike toddlerhood's need for space, adolescence brings opposite pain. Parents wish their children enjoyed their company. Time with family plummets from 35% of waking hours in fifth grade to 14% by 12th. One mother describes herself as a pit crew, changing tires, polishing the car, then stepping aside. As psychologist Joanne Davila explains, during childhood, it's about trying to help develop who your kid's going to be. During adolescence, it's about responding to who your kid wants to be. Wesley's contradictory behavior has neurological roots. Brain imaging shows teenagers overestimate mortality risks but assign higher value to rewards. Dopamine peaks during puberty while the prefrontal cortex develops through the mid-20s, like cars with powerful accelerators and weak brakes. Adolescence forces parents to examine their own lives. Nearly two-thirds of Steinberg's participants frequently wish to start afresh, not seeking a second adolescence, but a second adulthood. Sharon Bartlett, 67, raises her three-year-old grandson Cameron alone after losing both her son to suicide and Cameron's mother to cancer. She tracks yelling days on her calendar. Most social science would predict someone in Sharon's situation would be happier without a child, yet she remains fiercely committed. I'm in it for life now. Psychoanalyst Adam Phillips suggests that connecting to our most passionate selves through childhood feelings gives adults their life force. Children reconnect adults to the physical world through direct engagement. Matthew Crawford argues that modern knowledge workers feel disconnected from tangible outcomes. Children offer a chance to rediscover manual competence, building Lego towers, baking cookies, providing agency and visible results essential to human flourishing. Nancy Darling distinguishes between parenting tasks, enforcing rules, the least pleasurable interactions, and the deeper experience of being a parent. The pleasures are often passive, just sitting back and enjoying my kids being themselves. While our culture celebrates happiness as an achievable goal, many parents distinguish between superficial happiness and deeper joy. As grandmother Marilyn explains through tears, having children brought this deep sense that I've done something worthwhile in my life. When Gail's daughter May receives a nearly full scholarship after struggling with anxiety and self-harm, Gail feels immense pride. That's the kind of thing you live for. When Samantha wonders if she neglected her son Wesley, she breaks down. I just feel like having kids is the greatest thing I ever did. Her children say nothing. Calliope simply takes her mother's hand. In a St. Paul Fathers class, Paul Archambault observes how perspective transforms parenting. Our experiencing selves prefer dishes to time with children, yet our remembering selves report nothing brings more joy than our kids. This isn't contradiction. It's the difference between momentary pleasure and lasting meaning. John Lanchester advocates reviving duty, a nearly vanished word. Framing childcare as duty rather than pure pleasure frees us from unrealistic expectations, crucial when children are aggressively sought. Children offer redemption. The most generative adults, those concerned with meaningful legacies, tell stories of renewal through their children. Fathers especially cite children in redemption narratives. If it hadn't been for my child, I'd still be unfocused and running around. These adults see their children as moral guides, focusing on leaving worthy legacies. Here's the truth. Parenting will exhaust you, stripping away illusions about control. But it will crack you open, connecting you to wonder and purpose you didn't know you needed. The joy isn't in chaotic moments themselves, but in recognizing what you're building, a legacy of love transcending your limitations. In a culture obsessed with happiness, parenting teaches something more valuable. Meaning often lives where comfort ends.